thanks for giving in this special offering. We don't often do this. It's hardly ever. And thought maybe this was the best way to just pass buckets, and if you got some loose cash or whatever, to give toward Chi Alpha Ministry in Bloomington and help reach the heathen at IU. Where's my Purdue fans, right? Gotta reach those heathens down there. And make a difference. And yeah, it's just an awesome thing to have our own missionary on the campus of IU from here that was raised in this church and now fulfilling a calling to reach students there at IU. So thanks for participating in that. But thanks also for your generosity all the time, just in tithes and offerings, missions giving, life builder giving. You guys just help us to be able to make such a difference. That's why we're able to report every week what's going on here and around the world because of your efforts in giving. And so thanks again for making that possible. Today we're continuing on in a series of messages through the book of James. And James is toward your back end of the Bible. So if you want to go ahead and pull up the book of James and get ready, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And I love this book because it was written by the brother of Jesus. And we learn from the scriptures that after the miraculous birth of Jesus to Mary, that then Mary had other children. And so they were like half brothers and sisters of Jesus. But they weren't, it doesn't appear to be followers of Jesus when his ministry was active. But they became followers of Jesus after they saw him die and come back to life. How many that would do it for you, right? And so it's quite a testimony of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus when his family became members of the church. And James became a leader in the church, and we discover that in the book of Acts. But he also authored this letter. And last week, if you weren't here last week, you can go back and listen to that message or watch that message and get caught up. But he was talking about the scattered church. I'm writing to the scattered church. And how many think the church can be a little scattered today, right? Across the world and a lot of different things going on. And so what we've titled this series is Faith in Real Life, because I think that's what the world needs now. The world needs real living faith. Our country needs real living faith. It needs Christians who live like Jesus. Can I get a good amen, right? So if we do our part, I think God will do the rest. And so this series, we're just going verse by verse and looking at what James had to say. And today we're going to look at the subject of truth, especially. And we live in a culture where people wonder, what is truth? And it's interesting because people have been wondering that for a long time, because Pilate actually posed that question in Jesus' day, what is truth? And we live in a culture where it is popular to say, live your truth. Just live your truth, you know? I'm going to live my truth. But here's a problem with that. What if your truth interferes with my truth? See, what if you're saying, well, I'm going to live my truth, but I say, well, I'm going to live my truth, but the two don't work together. See, that's a problem. The other problem is I think there's absolute truth. And let me just illustrate that. I think every day, Sunday through Saturday, 2 + 2 = 4. I don't think there's a day, right? Tuesday's not different. You go to the bank and they say, hey, we got 2 for 1 today. Whatever you deposit, we just double it, you know? And have you ever had the bank do that? And so that's not really how truth goes. And they'll catch you if you're depositing cash. Anybody remember cash? And so if you're depositing cash, they will count it. And if you're off, they're not going to say, oh, no big deal. Right? You know, you were short a little bit, but hey, we'll make it up. No, we're going to change that deposit because it's truth. Is everybody getting what I'm saying? Yes. So there's absolute truth. And so in a culture where there is a lack of truth, James is going to help us today so that we can know what truth is. And so I'm going to read the entirety of the rest of the text that we're going to look at today, and then we'll break it down. James chapter 1. And let's go back to verse 16. Here's what he says. Don't be deceived. A lot of people are deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And aren't you glad? You know, shadows change, but light, like the sun, it never changes. The shadows may change, but the sun never changes. And that's what James is saying here. He says, God never changes. Things change, people change, circumstances change, but God never changes. How many are glad for that? He chose to give us birth through, now start underlining perhaps it, if you would, in your Bible. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Everybody say the word. That we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. I wish everybody could take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Selah. That means pause and think, all right? Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, notice this, the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Okay, three times he's already talked about the word. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, which is another word for God's word, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious, there's a lot of those people around, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James says, don't be deceived by the culture and by what people say, and don't be deceived about the power of the Word of God. That the Word is powerful. In other words, what God says is important. But let me tell you something. Not only what God says is important, but your attitude toward what God says is important. See, when you're saying, well, the Word says, well, what's your reaction to that? And we're going to talk about that some more, because the Word has the power to anchor your life in a culture that's blowing all over the place. In a culture that's falling apart, the Word has the power to anchor you. And I think it's the power of the Word of God that causes the devil to fight it so fiercely. Yes. You know, there's no other book, I don't feel, that's more controversial or raises so much attention as the Word of God. I mean, God's Word is so powerful. It's the reason why, you know, that in school, you know, you can just about read from any book, even books that, you know, would shock you at what they say, but don't read the Bible. You know, in our culture. And I think it's the reason why the devil fights against what the scriptures talk about and things like that. I mean, you know, the Olympics, you know, just recently kind of poking at Christians and trying to do some making fun of the Lord's Supper, which we know they didn't all pose for the picture, okay? Does everybody know that? Like that painting, you know, they didn't all, okay, everybody get behind the table over here, you know. That didn't happen. They were probably, you know, reaching the table as Eastern culture was and probably laying on an elbow, eating from the table, surrounding the table. But that wouldn't have looked as pretty in the painting. But nevertheless, poking, right? And of course, there's been controversy as a result of that. Why? Because there's power in the Word of God. And here's why the devil fights it so bad, is because if you won't read it, you won't know the power. See, and if you won't believe it, then you won't know the power. If you think, well, I just don't know, I think there could be flawed, and, you know, I don't know if it's really God's Word and all. It's the very first thing recorded that the devil speaks. Did you know that? That the Bible says that in the very beginning, in Genesis, it says, did God really say? And he's been pulling the same trick ever since. You know, did God really say, is the Bible really true? Can we really trust it? You know, I mean, did God, is that the real translation? I mean, you know, I'm not sure, you know. And listen, when you lock into God's Word and you put it in your life, there's nothing more anchoring to your soul in a world that's absent of truth. When you get the truth inside you, here's what Jesus said, it'll set you free. It will set you free. And so people, you know, what we have to be careful of is people think, well, I can edit the Bible. You know, there are people like, I like that page, you know, but this one, so it's like a condensed version. It, you know, I always think of it kind of like the Holy Bible, and some people's Bibles are more holy than others because they have holes in it, you know, they just take out, I don't like that part, you know, and so here's the thing is God's Word is powerful. I want to communicate that today. God's Word is powerful. Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And we see this in our culture where people say, I'm going to live my truth. And their truth winds up killing them. Their truth winds up destructive. You know, if you want what the world has to offer, just do it the world's way. If you want a marriage like the world, if you want a lifestyle like the world, if you want those results, and it's sad. And so in our culture, the very thing that could help us, I always get, you know, it's kind of humorous to me when they say, you know, we need to take the Ten Commandments off of that school building. Because what if the students start doing those? You know, they stop lying and cheating and stealing and lusting and different. What if they put those into practice? What kind of school would we have? I think a better school, right? And so the world's way doesn't work. And so James, here's where we're going, okay? Is James is going to ask, are you going to do it your way or are you going to do it God's way? Come on, church. Come on, professing Christian. Are you going to do it God's way or your way? Which way is it going to be? What is going to be the basis for how I live my life? And here's what it comes down to. The world or the word? Okay? It just comes down to that. It's just real simple. Is it going to be the word or the world? In Psalm 119, verse 81, it says, my soul is weak from waiting for you to save me. My soul or my hope is based on your word. Here's what he says. He says, I've got all these troubles and everything, and I'm kind of waiting on you, but my soul's at rest because I have your word. Is that how you feel? You know, I have your word, and so I have an anchor. I don't see what's going on. I can't figure it out. I don't know everything that's happening around me, but I know that within me, there's a deep, settled peace because of God's word in me. Can I get a witness of that today? Jesus said it like this. He told a story, and he was famous for his stories. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, now notice that, it's these words, my words, and puts them into practice. In other words, and James is going to talk about this too, Jesus' brother, he's going to talk about this as well. Not just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. And he says, if you hear it and you do it, you're like a wise man who built his house on the what? Rock. And the rain came. And listen, the rain comes to the just and the unjust. Problems come. Let me say it this way. A bad economy affects us all. Am I right? That's not like your neighbor says, well, I don't think it's that bad. You know? No, it affects everybody. And stuff happens to all people. But he says, but the difference is what your house is built on. Because when the rain comes and the streams rise and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. See, I want you, here's what I want for you. I want for you to not just have the rock of this church, to just know, well, I can go there Sunday morning. I can go there when they're having, you know, 21 days of prayer and church is open for prayer. I want you to have a rock that is 24/7. I want you to have a power in the Word of God like what I've had so that when the storms come in your life, you have something that you can hold on to, that you can cling to, that you can run to, that will be there when everything else is falling apart, when the wind is beating and the rains are coming and everything's pushing against you. You have your house built on the rock. And this is the rock. And I want you to love the Bible as much as I do. I love the Bible. I love God's Word. I have never read anything that even comes close. There's nothing that has the power that this... Are you kidding me? When I've needed direction and I've looked at this word and I'm astounded at how God speaks exactly what I need, how that he directs my path, how that he provides peace. And when I needed a word, when I needed comfort, when I needed help, he speaks through his word. If you're not hearing God, you're not reading your Bible. Because he speaks through his word. And James says, you also need to have a good attitude toward it. So to live the truth, to live God's truth, how do we do this? Here's the first thing. Maybe you want to write this down. Is you need to receive the truth. You need to receive the truth because the truth has the power to save you. James chapter 1, verse 16, let's go back to it. Do not be deceived, my brothers, dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth, and notice how, through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. He says he enabled us to be born again. He enabled us, and so it, I know there's a lot of definitions about being born again, but James says it's when you take the truth in. It's when you get God's truth in you and you live not your truth, but you're living his truth. And when you live his truth, that sounds confining. It sounds like, well, I gotta do what he wants me to do. But it's not like that. It's not a duty, it's a delight. How many have gotten there? Right? It's not a duty, it's a delight. It's like when you're really in love, it's not like, she wants me to tell her I love her every day. Right? How many know there's something wrong there? There's deeper things. And so when you really love God, when you really love his word, let me tell you something. It's a delight to come to. That's the reason why we talk around here about it's life to the full. It's full living. It's not a duty. It's delight. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, what happens is we get more faith. Our faith level goes up. And today, I'm believing right now that in this room and online, there will be people who hear the word of God, and faith will come up, enough faith that will save you. Because it has the power to save you. He says it's the first fruits of all he created, that we might be like a first. And so for most of us, we don't understand what that is because we don't live in an agricultural type of lifestyle. And so we don't understand that. And that day, they talked a lot about first fruits. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, it's just full of stories about first fruits. And what it was is when I get 10 ears of corn, I'm going to give the first ear to God. The first is his. The first 10% of everything that comes in, I'm going to turn it around and give it to God. And we practice this today as believers as a tithe. And we see that in Malachi and other places of the Bible talks about giving and presenting a tithe to the Lord, that we give 10%. And it's not just 10%, it's the first fruits. It's the first, because God is first. It's a way for us to put our money where our mouth is and say, God, you are first. Because it's easy to say that, but God says, now prove it. And so we prove it that he's first by doing that. We do that on the first day of the week. We say, you know what? I'm going to give the first of my week to God. I'm going to consecrate this day to the Lord. It's the first portion of my week, and I'm going to give it to God. And here's the point, is I don't have to, I get to. Not I got to, I get to. I get to do this. I get to give to him. I get to resource his work. I get to come to church. Not I've got to go to church. It's an attitude shift. It's an honoring position that I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor him with my first fruits, my whole life. I want it to be a first fruits offering to the Lord who gave his first and best for me. I want to give my first to him, my best to him. David said it like this, I was glad when they said to me, it's time to go to church. See, that's how you know you've had an attitude shift. I was glad when they said, it's time to go to church. Here's the second thing, is he talks about you got to accept the truth, not just receive the truth, but you've got to accept the truth even when it confronts me. Okay, even when, I wouldn't have written that. I wouldn't have written it that way. I'm not sure, does it really say that? You know, even then, I'm going to accept it. Here's what he says in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, see, God wants you to have a good life, not burn down your marriage with your tongue. And we're going to talk more about the tongue in a couple weeks, because he talks a lot more about it. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Oh, this is so huge. He says, you got to humble yourself. In other words, I'm not always right. How many, you'll argue for half an hour to try to prove that you were right. And if nothing else, wear the person out. So they'll just give up. And you feel, okay, I didn't admit I was wrong. He says, humility, because pride gets in the way. And so here's how it works with the Bible. You read something, and as you're reading it, you're like, oh boy, that's speaking right to me. That's like something I probably need to work on. So therefore, because of what I just read, I'm going to have to do something about it. Because I'm not always quick to listen. I'm sometimes quick, but not on the listening part. It's that other part, right? Quick to speak. And he says, no, that needs to be slow. Slow that down and speed this up. Listen to other people. And so what we have to do is we have to let it speak to us and then say, now what am I going to do about it? And I love this quote by Timothy Keller. He says, if your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. It's powerful. See, because what happens is you become God. And again, back in the garden, that's exactly what Satan tried to do with Adam and Eve. Hey, you'll be like God. Live your truth, Eve. Live your truth. Yeah, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You live your truth. And James says, no, 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 no. That'll get you in trouble. It got Eve in trouble. It'll get you in trouble. So what you've got to do is you've got to humble yourself and say, you know what? I need God's help in my life. I need God's word in my life. I need higher truth in my life. I want a higher marriage, a higher lifestyle, a higher life than what the world has to offer. And so to get there, I've got to get lower. I've got to humble myself and say, okay, I didn't like that. And like what that said, but I've got to accept it. And the word that he uses there is like welcome. You know, don't you love our greeters here at Crossroads Church? Come on, give it up for every greeter at Crossroads Church. Saying, hey, come on in. Come into the house of the Lord. Come on in today and smile at you and just greet you and make you feel welcome. That's what he says here about the word. He says what you need to do is welcome it inside of you. You need to welcome it into your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 talks about this as well. But I don't know where it is in my notes, so pull it up on the screen for me. I need some help. We also thank God continually. Thank God for the screen. Thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. I love that. See, today you can hear this word and say, well, that was inspiring. That was nice. You know, probably I'd do something about that. Or you can say, you know what? God spoke to me today. God, through his word, spoke to me. Craig helped it to be clear, at least I hope I did. And now I'm going to welcome it. I'm going to welcome it. I'm going to welcome it into my life. And he says, when you welcome it in, it'll work out in you. So you got to welcome it in first. And when you fully trust God, you let him tell you how to live. Right? You'd let him tell you. And let me say it this way. The mark of a God-changed life is that I like God telling me what to do. See, I'm not like, don't want to do that. I know you said that, but that's not what I want to do. No. It's, Lord, what would you have? It's Jesus saying, not my will, but your will be done. Right? And we wouldn't even be here today if he didn't have that prayer. And so when we pray and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Not my word, not my life, but your life, Lord. May it be lived through me. May not my truth, but your truth being lived in me. And here's the next thing he talks about. He says, you need to embrace the truth. Embrace the truth, because if you embrace it, it'll guide you. It'll guide you. Look at this in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. In other words, you know, I go to church or whatever. He said, it's not about just going to church, just listening to it. You're deceiving yourself. Do what it says. Everybody say that with me. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and notice this, God put those things in there. God put the Ten Commandments. God put those things in there instructing us of how to live. Notice this, so you can live free. Not so you'd be bound. No, that's what happens with the world. You know, you talk to people, I didn't know I'd be bound like this when I started. You know, well, no, because it was a deception. And the enemy hides the consequences from us. But God's path leads to freedom. Can I get a good amen there? Amen. And continues in it. You got to continue in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. If you look intently into the mirror of truth, it'll show you what needs to change. Have you ever had this happen where you're thinking you're looking pretty good today? How many had a good hair day today? How many just wish you had some hair, all right? So, okay. Whew. All right. But you know, you're thinking you're looking pretty good. I've done this before. I've gone over to the office. The wind was blowing outside, and I'm just saying hi to everybody. And then I go into the restroom, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. What kind of staff do I have? You know, I look like a rooster, you know. I'm all messed up, and I wish somebody had said something. Or have you ever had this happen? You thought you were looking pretty good and all, and then you go look in the mirror, and there's this big zit. How did that happen? Big old white thing, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, that is so gross, and I was smiling at her. You know, I was thinking I was all that and whatever, and you're like, oh no. Because the mirror reveals the truth, right? And so what happens is, James says, if we'll look into the truth, then we can know where things are off. We can know where something's out of whack. Well, this must be why my marriage is not doing so hot. This must be why my finances are in mess. This must be why that emotionally I have stress and strain and depression and different emotional things going. Oh, wow, check that out. There's the issue. And James says, when you intently, and the word is intently look, intently embrace it. In other words, it's not just a glance. It's looking at, how many are glad for your magnifying mirror? Where's my older people at, right? You know? You need that magnification. Can I get a good amen there, you know? Right? You need that. And so it helps because now it's like, wow, I didn't know I could grow hair there, you know? What is that about, you know? It's like, seriously? Because the hair that used to be on your head, now it's coming out your nose, you know? other places. I didn't even know I was going to say that today, but anyway. Let me share something else. Let me change up the illustration. How many remember maps? Okay, for all my teenagers, it is not an app on your phone, okay? It's not an app on your phone. There used to be actual paper maps. And I remember these because I would study these, especially when I learned how to drive. But even before then, I would kind of look at them like, wonder which road Dad's going to take and everything. And we'd study the way that we were going to drive and on. And then when I started driving and drove down to Springfield, Missouri for school, and I was driving back to Indianapolis, it was very important to take the correct road in St. Louis, especially. Unless you want a detour through Kansas City or somewhere else. And so I would look intently at the map. And I'd say, oh, okay. So I pass that highway, then I pass that highway, then I turn on that highway. Okay, so I got to get past two, because I'm not driving and doing this, right? So I'm intently, and I almost picture it. I almost take a picture of it in my mind so that as I'm driving, I've got that picture there in my mind because I looked intently at the map, and I got that emblazoned into my brain so that when I come to that road, I say, that looks like a good road, but that's not my road. And boy, that'd be easy to take that road right now, but that's not my road. There's my road that I need to go. Exactly where it was supposed to be. And here's what God's word does. It's a lamp to your feet and a light for your pathway. It helps you to know, nope, I don't want that road. I don't want that road. I don't want this one. Oh, there's the one that I want. And so today, here's what you need to do. You need to get a hold of God's word because the truth will set you free. The truth will guide your life. So let me just say this. I'm going to recommend getting a copy of the Bible, okay? And if you don't have a copy of the Bible and you can't afford one, we will get one for you. Because I want you to have one where you can just, you know, I've talked to people sometimes, they say, sometimes I just gotta hold it. Just gotta get a hold of it. And there's something about turning the pages. There's just something about, you know, having. Now, we've got scripture cards again today that we're gonna hand out. And hey, here's what's good about these is you can put these up and memorize the scripture. You can put it on your mirror, you can put it on your nightstand, you can put it on your desk, you can put it wherever. Put it somewhere where you can start memorizing God's word. Set time aside. Okay, everybody didn't get that. Set time aside. Did this side get it? Did you get it? Let me say it over here. Set time aside. Okay, I think this side got it. No, hey, how do you get to the dentist? Set time aside. How do you get your hair cut? Set time aside. How do you get anything done? Set time aside. So if you're going to read, because otherwise you're like, oh, I wish I'd have read the Bible this week. Well, you and God both, right? The devil's the only one happy, right? You got to set time aside to, notice this, read, study, because that's the intently looking at it, intently studying it, just like the map. It's the map for our lives, and meditating on it. Just ruminating on it. God, just help me to get this into my spirit. Lord, I need to be quick to listen today. So before I go to work, Lord, just help me just be percolating that in my head. Help me to be slow to speak, slow to become angry, because you know how that guy irritates me. You know how she bothers me. You know how quick I am sometimes to just get wound up about something. So Lord, let your word just come in and have a Bible reading plan. One year Bible or on the Bible app, pick an application of the Bible where you can read about depression, you can read about joy, you can read about other things. But I would recommend getting a yearly plan of some kind to where daily you are taking in God's word. And don't just read the Bible, let the Bible read you. Let it speak to you. Get into it and it'll get into you. The impact of Scripture is powerful. James chapter 1, verse 27, we're going to end with this. Here's what he says, the last part of this. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The church world, in the church world that I grew up in, usually the church world and Christians picked one or the other of those. You know, you had a church that was all about the orphans and the widows. We need to go out and serve, and we need to serve and serve, and we need to, you know, pay people's bills, and we need to do social justice and things like that. And that's great, but they didn't really talk about righteousness. Maybe you grew up in that kind of church where, you know, they did a lot of good stuff, but living for God, being holy before God, there just wasn't a lot of talk about that. Or maybe you grew up in a church that was all about holy. All about, hey, you're jacked up and you need to get to this altar today. You're going to hell, all right? And it's just the way it is. And they just preached hell so hot you could smell the smoke, right? But they didn't do a whole lot to reach out to the others. And James says, I'd like for you to do both. I'd like for you to do both. While you're reaching out and serving people, live a holy life. You know, live as an example. Live like Jesus. Be like Jesus in your character, in your demeanor, in the way you pray every day. You don't have to pick, in other words. It's justice and righteousness. And I'm so glad that as a church, we emphasize both around here, right? We have serve day. We have other serve opportunities. We're always giving to the poor. We're always giving to our community. We're always giving around the world. There's an orphanage being built in Cambodia, and we're a part of building that. And I'm so thankful for that. But you know what? We're going to have 21 days of prayer, too. Seeking the face of God and asking God every day, God, would you just speak to me? Would you change me? Would you help me to be the man, the woman, the student that I need to be? And you know what? When you do both of those, the world takes notice. And I want to live in a world that takes notice of us, not because of our big buildings or fancy stuff or whatever, but because of the way that we live. Let's pray. Father, help us today to put this into practice. Maybe some of you are here and you'd say, Craig, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but boy, that tongue part, that listening quickly, I struggle with that. Or maybe it's the foundation of your life. Maybe, you know, you watch news and things like that, and you think, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. What's the world coming to? And instead, maybe you should be asking, who is coming to this world? And so if you're here today, and as a believer, as a person who has put your faith in the Lord, you'd say, I need to be a little bit more humble in my receiving of God's truth. I want to put it into practice. I don't want to walk away from the mirror and forget what I look like. I want to make sure that I look intently into God's word every day of my life. If that's your desire today, would you just raise a hand all over this place? Come on, church. Yeah. Father, help us today. Because we need more than Sunday morning Christians in America. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to be daily followers of you. That we would not just hear this today, but we would do it this week. And so, God, help us to put it into practice in our lives. Others of you, maybe you feel away from God. You feel distant from God. Here's what James says. The word of God can save you. Just what you've heard today is enough to save you. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. There's enough of God's word that's been preached today that you know what you need to do. You know that the answer is God. When you're asking, how am I going to get more peace? How am I going to get more tranquility? How am I going to get more confidence? How am I going to get more of a foundation of rock in my life? The answer to all those questions is God. God. That's who you need. And if you're here today and you're away from God, or perhaps you've never really given your whole heart and life over to God, I want to invite you. I want to give you the opportunity today to make God first and foremost in your life, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you would like to do that today, would you just raise a hand right now all over this room? Just raise it up and say, yeah, that's me. Yeah. And as you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you and believing God for you as well. As a matter of fact, let's all pray this prayer right now. Pray it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay for all my sin. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. I humbly receive what your word declares, and make Jesus Lord of my life from this day forward. Thank you for accepting me as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's welcome those who prayed that prayer. Yeah, it's awesome. Listen, there are words on the screen that you can text from where you are in order to take a next step. And next week's Baptism Sunday is going to be awesome. We got a bunch of people already signed up to be baptized next Sunday. You can join them, because after you make that inside commitment, the scripture says you show it on the outside through baptism. So we want to help you to do that. If you're here in person, all you got to do is go across the hall and one of our elders will be over there to help you to understand about baptism, get signed up, everything you need to be prepared for next week's baptism. Hey, Kona Ice is here today. Free Kona Ice for everybody. All right, so make sure you go out and get that. I think it's on the end of the building. That way, okay? So I wanna make sure I'm pointing the right direction. I think I'm pointing the right direction. Am I right? Is it? No, I'm wrong. So never mind what I said, okay? It's out front today. So I think there was a debate of where it was gonna be, and it's gonna be out front. So make sure you take some. Let's stand to our feet. Don't you love being a part of God's church? I was glad when they said, it's time to go to church. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And hey, a little cone of ice doesn't hurt either, right? So today, here's what I want our prayer partners to come forward. If you've got a prayer need, they want to pray with you, pray for you before you leave today. So let them do that. Don't walk out of here without receiving the prayer that you need today. But otherwise, would you get to know somebody new here at Crossroads? There's a lot of new people, and you can get to know somebody new before you leave today. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus this week. Father, help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers. And help us to live holy lives this week that will set an example to others of what living for you looks like. And at the same time, God, may we reach out with your compassion and your love toward those who need it most. Holy Spirit, draw every person down for prayer today that needs prayer, and go with all of us. Otherwise, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Don't miss next week either.